Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. This week we have been talking about a man. He was both a king and a priest, and his name is, I can hear you shouting back to me, Melchizedek. Well, are you ready? Good to go? Anticipating this? Let's press on now and let's dig into the Bible deep in Psalm chapter 110. In this psalm, we learn that as Melchizedek was both king and priest, so too Jesus Christ is both king and priest. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. And the question before us is, in what ways was Melchizedek a type of Christ? There are multiple answers, and we will get to them. I am not sure if you were able to do this or not. I know many of you listen on the go, for example, driving in your car. But if you listen at a time of less distraction, I encourage you to take some notes. Write, W-R-I-T-E, write, R-I-G-H-T, inside your Bible. Write, right inside your Bible. This will help you engage with what we are learning. For those of you otherwise occupied, you can get this again as a podcast and take notes later. I will do my best to walk us through the deep connections between Melchizedek and Jesus in a clear, step-by-step manner, but your attention to detail will be beneficial as well. We are here to learn, right? To grow, to develop, and to mature in our understanding of who God is in His Word. So with that being said, I invite your attention to this psalm. In what ways was Melchizedek a type of Christ? First, Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that he was king and priest. Melchizedek was both king and priest, says Genesis 14, verse 18. Jesus Christ is both king and priest, so says Psalm 110. I will read verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Wow, there is a lot there in the first four verses of Psalm 110. As I said last time, this is a messianic psalm written by King David and the most profound exaltation of Jesus Christ as both king and high priest in the Psalms. Verse 1 shows us Christ in the present, literally right now, the resurrected Savior in heaven. And verses 2 through 7 show us Christ in the future, in his reign on the earth as king. Here we read about Jesus Christ as the perfect king and the perfect high priest. In verse 1, David writes, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Notice that there are two uses of the name Lord in this verse. The Lord says to my Lord. The first Lord is God the Father, Yahweh. The second Lord is God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So when David says my Lord, he means that the Messiah is greater than David. And we know that the Messiah is Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than King David. Then God the Father, Yahweh, exalts Jesus the Son, the Messiah, when he says to Christ, sit at my right hand. To sit at God's right hand means that the Messiah shares the honor, the power, and the glory of God. This is not something David had. No Israelite king had this because none of them were the Messiah. But Jesus is, as we speak, seated at the right hand of Yahweh, God. And God the Father says to the resurrected and exalted Jesus, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." What does it mean to make enemies a footstool for your feet? This speaks to the victory Jesus has over his enemies. This means Christ has totally defeated those who have opposed him. We think of footstools as benches on which we rest our feet after a long day. In fact, I have a chair and a footstool, and I like to do my reading by pushing back on the chair, stretching out my legs while my feet rest on the stool. With my book or an article in my hands, I find this a relaxing way to acquire more knowledge and wisdom, as well as to drink my coffee. But for Jesus in heaven, this speaks of him as the ultimate conqueror. We see the same point made in verse 2 of this psalm. "The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, 'Rule in the midst of your enemies.'" Who has a scepter? A king does. And Zion is Jerusalem. This describes earthly Jerusalem. And one day from Zion, that is Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of David and will stretch forth his scepter and rule over his enemies. He does this in the millennium, Christ's 1,000-year reign as king over all the earth. Verse 3 of Psalm 110 speaks further of this. Christ the king, his power, his holy array. But let's get into verse 4, because this is the crux of the matter. Look who is mentioned, Melchizedek. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." This is strong language. God has sworn, powerful. God will not change his mind. And then this truth. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a priest forever. For the first time in the history of Israel, a king will simultaneously serve as priest, and he is Christ. A priest serves in the temple. Christ will build that temple, and there the whole world will worship God. If you do not believe me, or if you do believe me, get your Bible and read Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48 this weekend. Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48. This will amaze you, and it is coming. Be encouraged, believers. There is so much going on in today's world to discourage us. We look at what is happening in the world and our hearts break. Evil is winning everywhere we turn, it seems. Whether it be war or the taking of lives by a gunman of multiple 9- and 10-year-olds, in an elementary school in America. Whatever it is, and there are updated headlines all the time, we feel the full weight of evil. But the King is coming. Jesus, the high priest, is going to build the temple, and people will worship him there. We walk by faith, not by sight, and we have to constantly keep our eyes on Christ's final victory over evil. Back in Psalm 110, verse 4, notice this word, forever. God says of Jesus, "You are a priest forever." This is an eternal priesthood. It lasts forever. So Christ is a priest forever, and then this. Psalm 110, verse 4, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." What is the order of Melchizedek? Now that is a great question and an important question, and we will wrestle with it on Monday. Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that he was king and priest. I have taken us to Psalm 110 first, intentionally, to show you this. I am aware that we must and we will bring in Hebrews chapter 7 into this discussion. We will be developing our answer some more next week. The big question before us is, in what ways was Melchizedek a type of Christ? And we began to answer this yesterday and today. We continue this first answer in the days ahead, and then we add some other answers as well. Please be with us. Isn't it remarkable how one verse in Genesis connects to one verse in the Psalms and will then connect to the New Testament book of Hebrews? We can trace Melchizedek straight through all of the scripture. This is why I've said he is more than an ordinary man who served as a king of Salem. He is far more than Shem. He's a type of Christ. He set forth an order of priest in which only Christ follows. I know this is a series on God and Abraham. Don't you worry, I have not forgotten. But we simply cannot pass over Melchizedek. And now you see why. Who was he? We're finding out. We have three options on the table, with a fourth one soon coming. May God give us wisdom by his Holy Spirit to discern Melchizedek in the scripture. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us the gift of life and allowing us to meet together these 5 days to dive into the Bible and to come with a sense of wonder and amazement for what you have written to us. We come to certain passages, in this case, a certain person, Melchizedek, and we really need you to help us in our understanding. I pray you will teach us all. Make us your students who love to learn from you. We started off the week on Monday reflecting on Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. I pray sincerely that we have all done just that. Please go with us this weekend. Keep us safe. Protect us from the evil one. And bring us back together on Monday, willing and eager to meet you here. Amen. Join us Monday for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.